The Public Safety Budget Division will come to order. Today is Monday, April 16th, 2007. We have three bills before us. Senator Neville, would you move to suspend the rules for purpose of having lunch?
So moved.
Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Adopted. Okay. Senator Limmer has the first bill. This was sent up to our committee thinking that there were some financial issues, but they rightly belong in big finance, and so I don't think we even need to discuss it much. I think we just need to send it along.
I move it.
Okay. Senator Moi moves that Senate File 1242 be recommended to pass and go to finance. On that motion, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Adopted.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and committee members.
Have a good lunch. Senator Rosen?
Never happened to me again, I know.
Senator Savor. Rosen, I think we can do the same thing with your bill.
Whoa.
This is about 911 fees. This is something that the committee I call big finance, so we'll have to deal with, and probably not us. So...
Senate File 1449, Madam Chair and members. It just provides a method to improve compliance of already existing statutes. The current process relies upon voluntary compliance from telephone industry and commissioner, lacks authority to verify these counts and reports. So this bill would require a sworn declaration of fees and an examination process, which would be better management of the collection of revenue from all vendors, including emerging technology. And I have Mr. Ron Whitehead with me.
Mr. Whitehead, welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I think Senator Rosen has really covered the details of this bill, and in large part, it's simply a procedural bill allowing us to follow up and assure compliance with submission of 911 fees, in particular by given the fact that the Department of Commerce, nor does the PUC have authority over wireless and the emerging VoIP providers and so forth. So it's a bill that simply gives us the, if we dispute fees, we can request a sworn affidavit. If they don't provide the sworn affidavit, we can actually certify to the Commissioner of Revenue that these fees are due and allow them to go to collection. Or if they do, then we can do provide a sworn affidavit. We can request an audit or an examination of fees. So in short, that's essentially what Senator Rosen had said, and it's, like I say, largely turning the voluntary system into a giving us a little teeth on the compliance side. It does also apply to the TAM and TAP fees. The Department of Public Safety collects fees for Commerce Department and for the PUC, the TAM and TAP fees, in addition to the 911 fees.
Okay. Any questions? Don't see any, Senator Rosen.
Chair, I move that Senate File 1449 be recommended to pass and referred to the floor.
No, finance.
Finance. I'm sorry, Madam Chair.
Senator Rosen's motion. Any more discussion? If not, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Adopted. Thank you very much.
I appreciate your time.
Members, the third bill is the scrap metal bill. Pretty much everybody here has seen this in another committee. This is my bill, so Senator, there you go. I have an amendment, the A-12 amendment. This is a technical amendment, and it's deleting a couple of unnecessary definitions.
Okay. Is there any discussion regarding Senator Higgins' motion to adopt the A-12 amendment? Senator Moore.
Still coming around.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Higgins, can you just explain, because we're so busy eating,
we're
not turning to the bill, what the amendments are?
It's deleting the definition of check, and Mr. Backus can tell you best.
Mr. Chair and members, yeah, it just deletes the really unnecessary definition of check. It makes a technical adjustment to reflect what the Judiciary Committee did.
Mr. Chair, I'll move the A-12.
Any further discussion or questions? Senator Neville?
Mr. Chair, by deleting the definition of check, I thought somewhere in the bill we required that scrap metal be paid for by check. How's that going to work then?
Mr. Chair and Senator Neville, The thought was that this the definition is basically your ordinary definition of check, that it didn't really merit any, it wasn't anything above and beyond that. And discussion with Senator Higgins, Senator Betzold, and then with Commerce Council, who really has jurisdiction more over check, thought it was unnecessary. Certainly there's no harm in leaving it in, though.
Well, Mr. Chair, I think people do understand what a check is. Does this preclude any form other than the paper check, then? Because the definition before,
we still have the electronic transfer electronic provision transfer in there.
So that's still in there too.
Still in there.
Okay. The key thing that what we're really trying to do is make sure it's not in cash, so that we have a document of it or a record.
That's right.
Okay.
Any further questions or discussion? All in favor of the A12 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The amendment is adopted.
Then, Mr. Chair, this bill would collect a $50 fee from each scrap metal dealer in the state. That would go to the small costs that are involved in having them be part of the criminal alert network. That's the network that brings us the Amber Alert and... we also have an educational materials provision in here. The superintendent of the BCA at the last hearing, he can't be here today, but at the last hearing he told me that that was adequate to do the work that they need to do, both the educational materials and putting them up on the network. And I think that's the piece. In the original fiscal note we don't have an updated one, but in the original one there was also a very small bed impact, but and we could probably talk about that, but I think that I don't think we send people to prison unless they like have a history that gets them up to high enough, and I don't think that the penalties in here would probably do that, so I don't think the bed impact is anything we should have to worry much about.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Foley.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Higgins, what penalty is prescribed for that? Is that a gross misdemeanor or a three-year felony or something of that nature?
Mr. Backus can say it. Otherwise, I'll say it incorrectly, I know.
Mr. Chair and Senator Foley, the original bill coming into Judiciary Committee was changed, and now what's currently there is a misdemeanor penalty for violation of the registration type requirements for the scrap metal dealer, and there were two new criminal code provisions put in, which are sections 4 and 5. Section 4 is an enhanced penalty for thefts if the actual theft creates a reasonably foreseeable risk of bodily harm to another. So a non-felony penalty would go up to a 3-year felony, and then if it's a felony already, it would be increased by a 50% margin. And then in Section 5, the precious metal receiving stolen property crime was amended to include scrap metal dealers. So those are potential felony penalties as well, and that's on page 6.
And Mr. Chair, and I think this was Senator Neville's idea. We were the bill had been focusing on the scrap metal dealers, and we realized we didn't really make any extra penalties on the people who were actually stealing the stuff. So I think these are both good provisions.
Mr. Chairman, and
Senator Foley.
Senator
sorry,
Higgins.
It's confusing. I'm sorry.
This is one of those Dave can't hear me, and then. But we discussed something on the on that whole issue in the last go around. It seems to me
in Judiciary Committee.
And what was the result of that? I lost track of that.
Mr. Chair, Senator Foley, this is pretty much the same bill that we had the last time we saw it in Judiciary. Remember, I had it the first time, and then Mr. Backus totally rewrote it with the help of Senator Olson and Senator Neville. And what we have here is what you voted on in Judiciary the last time.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay. Senator Higgins, it was in the Business Committee as well, but...
it doesn't look anything like
changed.
That anymore.
Could you just give a real quick synopsis mm-hmm. of what is still in the bill?
Okay. Mr. Chair, this bill now requires that all scrap metal dealers register and participate in the Criminal Action Network. That's the BCA's computer system that also brings us the Amber Alerts. There are currently about 8,000 businesses that are part of that network. We would require that all the scrap metal dealers be part of that as well. We also still require that they keep records of purchases and acquisitions, including the number of the check used to purchase the scrap metal, the name and address of the person, the date, time, and place of the purchase, an accurate description of what has been purchased, the seller's driver's license or ID card, whatever they happen to have, and if they drive in, the license plate number and description of the vehicle. We put it in here that the record, if they have an established sort of relationship with merchants and manufacturers and frequent customers, I'm not sure that's there anymore. We also say that the scrap metal dealer has to train his employees on the information that will be coming from the Criminal Action Network. They have to check their emails or their faxes at least twice a day. They have to give their employees the information posted in a place that makes sense. You know, if most people come directly to like a scale out, you know, it should be posted there. We also require that payment be by check or electronic transfer. No cash payments at all except for pop cans. And if law enforcement requests them to hold the property because they believe that the property is stolen or evidence in a crime, that they are required to do that, and then we lay out how that all works. And then there are the penalty provisions we talked about before.
Senator Higgins, is the industry on board with this now? I remember there was a lot of dispute early on in the process, but I haven't kept up with that.
This is a bare shadow of its former self. So, and I see the industry representatives are in the corner. You could ask them if you'd like.
Well, I know we're not the policy committee here, but
that's right. Only doing the finance piece.
If it's no objection, I'd ask if the industry is not objecting any longer to these provisions, or they can live with it, however they sometimes characterize. Go ahead and identify yourself for the record.
Mr. Chairman, Paul Castor with the law firm of Leonard Street and Dinard on behalf of the Institute for Scrap Recycling Industries. The Senate version right now, I think, is in very good shape for us. We do have some concerns with what might be going on the other side, including the video surveillance provisions that are required of the bill, and possibly some data collection issues. But we're very grateful for the work that Senator Higgins has done on this bill from where we started back in February. We take this issue very seriously from a public safety standpoint and look forward to working with the law enforcement community, Senator Higgins and others, over the interim on this issue as well as we implement the new system with the BCA. All right. Stand for any questions if you have any.
Any questions of Mr. Cassidy? All right. Is there any further discussion?
Mr. Chair, I move that Senate File 443 as amended be recommended pass and go to the finance.
Any further discussion? Senator Neville?
Finance.
Mr. Chair, I see the $50 fee in here. Do we have enough language in here to get this to the crime network? There's no appropriation per se. Is this a...
Oh, is there supposed to?
All right. I'm trying to find where it is. Here it is. 426. The dealer pays to the Commissioner of Public Safety a $50 fee to participate in the crime alert network. Is that good enough language to create a special account to get it to him?
Mr. Chair and Senator, I don't believe that would create a special account, but no one has raised that issue of connecting those dots yet. the money goes to the Commissioner of Public Safety. It's not required to be, my understanding, it's not required to be deposited in the general fund or anything like that. So I think the assumption is that the Commissioner would keep that money and use it for that. But perhaps that's something that we'll have to double check for full finance.
And Mr. Chair,
Senator Neville,
Senator Higgins, a fiscal note reflects that $50 is the correct amount.
Senator
Higgins.
Yes, yes, Senator Neville. And the superintendent of the BCA said that that was a workable amount for them.
Okay. Senator Moore.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, I just want to put it on the record as we're having this discussion that the bill that came into the policy committee was a good bill with very good intentions, but we felt that there were a couple of areas that needed some polishing, and I think the members of the Judiciary Committee, along with counsel, worked pretty hard to put the bill into good statutory form, uniform definitions, cross-referencing, and I feel that the bill coming out of the Judiciary Policy Committee, coming into this committee, is a much better bill, much more polished. It treats the industry like the professional industry is supposed to be and holds them accountable to that level. At the same time, it protects the public. And but we did hear testimony in the Judiciary Policy Committee from Senator Higgins' constituents who are highly disappointed that this bill, they feel like this bill is doesn't quite address their needs, and in fact, you know, they're concerned that it might not be very useful to them. And I just want to put before this committee that I think, with all due respect to Senator Higgins, I think that the bill that is going through the Senate is probably a much better bill, much tighter, and from a policy standpoint, much better language than what came into the policy committee. And I would hope that as Senator Higgins moves forward with this bill, given the amount of emotion there is around this issue, and given also who the House companion, the author in the other body is, I hope that Senator Higgins would give some due consideration to the Senate bill and the Senate version of the bill, because I think it is a very good product.
And Mr. Chair and Senator Moore, as hard as we've worked on this bill, you know, I think that the work that was done in the Judiciary Committee with, you know, getting the language tightened up and in a more of a way that we see bills in the Senate, it is a much stronger bill mechanically. It isn't the bill I started out with, and that, I think, was what Inspector Scomro was complaining about.
Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman, in regard to Senator Neville's question, creating a bill that creates fees or fines or something like that that are collected by an agency doesn't mean that that agency is authorized to spend that money. The money has to be appropriated, and that's what the Finance Committee is for. Otherwise, these bills could just go through the floor by themselves. But you have to appropriate. You have to have an appropriation clause in a bill if you want a department to be able to spend money.
Then, Mr. Chair, Senator Berglund, do we need to have Mr. Backus make a sentence that said the funds collected in section whatever are appropriated to the Department of Public Safety?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Higgins, do you know how much will be collected?
It's about $10,000, assuming 200 scrap metal dealers. Nobody really knows how many scrap metal dealers there are in the state. The industry has told us they think it's around 200. And at $50 a person, that's $10,000.
Well, if that's what you think will be collected and you want them to be able to spend all of it, then you need to have an appropriation clause that would appropriate that money to the department. Doesn't matter. You can collect money to the
organization.
Okay.
Senator Foley?
Mr. Patman might be available to...
Senator Foley, I think Senator Higgins and Mr. Backus and others are consulting on what's the best way to address this question.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. Mr. Chair, the suggestion has been made to rather than try to have our staff write that on the fly, to have that amendment in full finance. And that would work okay, I think.
Is there any objection to that process? Okay, with that understanding, then, Senator Higgins renews her motion that Senate File 443, as amended, be recommended to pass and referred to the full Finance Committee. Senator Rosen.
I just want to thank Senator Higgins for really working on this. I think it was in front of Business, Industry, and Jobs three times, and working with the industry and everybody involved, because there was quite a delineation between outer greater Minnesota scrap dealers and what was going on in the cities, and so some didn't understand it. And I think you've got a really good bill here. I appreciate your tenacity.
Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
And members, I'd like to thank everybody for all your hard work in our committee this year. I think this is the last hearing we'll have before we go off to the conference committee, and it's been a pleasure working with you all. I think I'm the one who knew the least about this committee when we started this year, and so thank you for your kindness in not making me look like an idiot most of the time. And on that, I think we are adjourned.
We should have adjourned a second ago.
All right, we're adjourned.
All right.
Thank you.
Yes.
No.
Always goodbye.